where family values are more than slogans. The Rick Smith Show.
All because the gays are getting married. That is why people die and children go unfed. When I'm sad and alone and I'm wondering just why everything about my life is feeling like it's going down a toilet bowl. It's good to know it's cause the gays.
Yes, it's the gays. It's all their fault. No cakes. No cakes for you. How crazy is it that in this day and age we're fighting over cake? I mean, it's just, and the positions you hear people taking are just ludicrous. I mean, I tweeted out today that, you know, this isn't my country. This is not the country that I want for my children. This is not the future. This kind of hatred and discrimination. Look, if you're against gay marriage, there's a simple solution. Don't marry a person of the same sex. That's pretty simple, don't you think? Worry about yourself. As my grandfather said, worry about yourself. Don't worry about me. And this whole thing over the cake is just crazy. And here to talk a little bit about it and share some thoughts, I've asked Matthew Chapman to come to talk with us. He's a contributor over at ShareBlue. Matthew, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for letting me on the show.
So what do you think? No cake. No cake for those people, Matthew. None.
Well, here's the way I look at it. So the baker at the heart of the case is claiming that it is his right of free expression not to be compelled to bake a cake for gay people. So here's my view of it. Freedom of expression protects what he does in the kitchen. It doesn't protect what he does at the cash register. And here's what I mean by that. What I mean is that it could be argued that, you know, the way he decorates the cake, the way he actually builds the cake, is part of his freedom of expression as an artist. So, you know, I think you could argue that he would be protected if he didn't want to, say, bake a rainbow cake. But that's not what he's doing. What he's saying is that he's refusing to provide the exact same type of cake to a gay couple that he would provide to straight couples.
Right.
And that's not an issue of freedom of expression. That's an issue of public accommodation.
I don't buy the other argument, to be honest with you, the whole artist nonsense. You're baking a cake. It is what it is. I can go in the Yellow Pages. I can find in the Yellow Pages a place to get a cake. I come to you, I ask for a cake, and you're telling me, no, sorry, that isn't right. But what do you say to the person who makes that argument? You know, there are other cake bakers out there, Matthew. They should just go somewhere else.
Well, the problem with that argument is that, you know, you can't really contain it. You can't, it's a short hop from there to say that any business can discriminate against any protected class person.
Okay. So, I don't like you because you have brown hair. No cake for you.
Yeah, or you could discriminate based on race. One interesting argument that I got into. So, I was debating earlier with a fellow who is supportive of the baker, and I asked him a question that he didn't really have any answer to.
And what was that?
So this baker, you know, specifically is saying, you know, he'll sell any pastry to these guys except a wedding cake, because he doesn't believe in gay marriage. So what I asked was, what if there was a baker who was against school integration, and so he refuses to bake graduation cakes for black students? You'll sell any other kind of cake, just not a graduation cake.
That's a good question. What, he had no answer?
No, he didn't have an answer to that.
Well, I guess the answer would be, well, they've already taken the racial discrimination out of that. That's the law. The argument would be that sexual orientation is a choice. That's the one I love the best.
Oh boy! Yeah. Well, the response I have to that is that, you know, being gay is an ontological issue, the exact same way that race is. It's people dishonestly conflate being gay with engaging in a sex act.
Okay. And as I've said, if that's not what you want to do, don't do it. That simple.
Right.
So, but here's the other part of this, and this is where I generally end this argument, because to me, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, But this really isn't an issue against the couple or really even about the cake. This is really an assault on states' rights and the state of Colorado being able to have non-discrimination laws. And this is something that I would think that the right wing should be all in favor of. You know, states' rights. The state should be able to decide. Don't we hear that nonsense all the time? States should be able to decide. if they want non-discrimination laws, they should be able to have it, no?
It doesn't work that way. You see, states are only allowed to have rights when they restrict the rights of other people. That's how it works in the right wing.
Okay. That seems kind of dumb, but I can see the logic in it. But here's the thing. I mean, I guess, again, I go back to my grandfather who always said, you know, don't worry about what else somebody else is doing. Worry about yourself. You know, how is this that this is this big of a deal? This is an infringement on your religious belief. I mean, if you are that rigid in your ideological religious belief, isn't that kind of the antithesis of being a Christian?
It is. And it's also, you know, people with these sorts of, you know, mental hang-ups about providing basic services for their fellow man because of a basic aspect of who they are, they should ask themselves why they're in the job they're in.
That's a good point. I mean, you know, why is he baking cakes? Good question. How do you think this is going to go? I mean, there was a lot of speculation about Anthony Kennedy and some of the pointed questions because Kennedy has been someone who has been on the side of same-sex marriage. He's written about equality and he's done some. But there are some voices who are saying maybe on this, maybe he flips the other way. And I got to tell you, I'm not too comfortable with Anthony Kennedy being the guy who.
The questions that he posed at oral argument did make it sound as though he was worried about the religious liberty of the baker, or about. And it made it sound as though he might be erring once again on the side of business transactions being speech. But, you know, I don't think that we can completely write him off yet. I think that he is worried about his legacy, and I think that therefore it is in his interest to, if he does rule in favor of the baker, create a very narrowly tailored ruling.
Yeah, and very narrow. But here's the thing, because this could open if it goes the other way. If he rules fully in the side of the baker, this could be really a slippery slope where, you know, I saw someone today saying, you know, I think it was Trump who said, we should hang signs outside. You know, I actually know who said it. I just saw it online. We should be able to hang
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
That was it. We should be able to hang signs outside to tell us, you know, who's allowed and who's not allowed.
Yep. And, you know, the funny thing is that Kennedy himself posed that exact same question in oral argument, and he seemed uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, I see. I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm uncomfortable with this kind of division, this kind of ripping us apart at the seams. Look, I may not be thrilled with what other people do, but that's their right and their business to do. As long as their rights don't infringe upon mine, they have the right to do whatever they want. If they want to buy a cake, they should be able to buy a cake. If you're in, and help me here, because it's my thought that if you're in business, and you're open to the public, you're in the yellow pages, hey, we make cakes for everybody, that because you're covered by laws of this country, you should be covered by laws of not just the country, but the state that you live in. And Colorado, again, going back to that states' rights things, has a non-discrimination law.
Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, you should honor the law. You should honor the laws of your state when those laws, you know, as long as those laws do not discriminate against people. And, you know, Colorado set up a terrific law that protects people.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I want to move on because, you know, we're going to go from cakes to pedophiles. I look at Alabama, the polls uncomfortably close for me. I got to be honest. I look at, you know, the fact that you've got multiple women women now who were saying when they were young girls, Roy Moore was chasing after them. You've got a party and a machine in the right wing who are not just attacking these women, but denying the existence of evidence. And then, of course, changing the conversation because it's now going to be about cake and abortion, I guess, the latest messaging coming out of Alabama. What do you think is going on down there?
Well, you know, I would say that the biggest thing here is that, you know, first of all, the media to some degree got bored with the story, unfortunately, which means that, you know, it's not, which has given Moore's supporters a lot of time to regroup and come up with character assassination for the victim, which has really hurt things. There's also, you know, having lived in the South for a large part of my life, I cannot discount the fact that Southerners, as a general principle, really resent what they perceive to be outside influence in their politics. I think that as Alabama Republicans feel as though the national landscape is paying attention to them, they sort of have a tendency to rally.
So basically, we'll show you. We'll do exactly everything against what you want us to do.
Right, and you know that's sort of what Trump's whole election was about. People who just wanted a way to stick it to people.
And on a certain level, I kind of get that. But I mean, we're talking about a guy, honestly, who's 30-some years old, chasing after 14, 15, 16-year-old girls, calling them at school, sending them, you know, cards and writing in their yearbooks. I mean, how creepy is that? That a 30-year-old man is
banned from a mall was my question.
Exactly. How do you get banned from a mall in the 80s? You're absolutely right. But here again, I guess his question is the same as my question. Why did it take this long for this stuff to come out? Especially because, you know, I've had people tell me it's the open secret down there. It's like everybody knew, but nobody really cared.
Well, that's the unfortunate reality of the thing is that women have for decades tended to stay silent about this sort of thing because they feel there aren't the structures of support in place to protect them when they come forward with this sort of information.
Yeah, good point. And I look at the last woman who came forth. She said, you know, for years she wore it as a badge of honor because, you know, while she was in high school, she was dating a 30-year-old ADA. And you go, really? Where were your parents?
Yeah, and for that matter, you know, Moore, I keep thinking back to Moore's claim that he would never date a younger girl without the parents' permission. You know, if the girl's young enough that you need to ask their mother for permission, that's a huge red flag, regardless of whether she says yes or no.
That's a good point. I mean, I did ask my mother-in-law to marry my wife, but we were in our 30s. That's a whole other story.
I did that too, and we were both in our 20s. I mean that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I keep putting myself in this scenario, in this situation, because I have a 15-year-old daughter. If a 32-year-old man came knocking on my door and asked my wife if he could date my 15-year-old daughter, I don't know if my wife would be harmed in me running after him. I don't know. I'm not quite sure, but it wouldn't be long before my hands were around his neck.
You know, that's the most amazing thing to me. I don't doubt that most of Republicans who are defending Moore, I don't doubt that most of them would have the exact same reaction if Moore went after one of their daughters. I don't know how they mentally reconciled this in their heads, that it's okay as long as it's not affecting them.
Yeah. I've seen some of the messaging coming out that, well, you know, we'd rather have Roy Moore than one of them there Democrats. So in their minds, a pedophile is better than a Democrat.
I know, but, you know, here's an interesting thing that I recently saw. There was recently a poll that came out that focused specifically on Republican voters in Alabama who said that they had not considered voting for his opponent, Doug Jones. You know, a civil rights hero, prosecuted the KKK, all that. Interestingly, you know, contrary to the stories that we're hearing in the media, abortion was not actually one of the big reasons. It was only about 8% of voters said that was the reason they were never considering voting for Jones.
Okay. What was the reason?
Well, 36% said they just don't like him, and 27% said they didn't know. 10% said they didn't know anything about him. So, you know, there's, you know, weird things happen in special elections. I think that this is really going to come down to turnout above anything.
Of course. Of course. And I mean, I think the, was it the 538 came out and said, you know, how Doug Jones can win. And it's, you know, we need record turnout. The African-American communities in Huntsville and Birmingham and all those, they have to come out and the rural areas have to stay home. And you go, well, duh, you could say that about any place. Keep the rural areas down, keep the urban areas vote up, and you got a shot, especially in a place like Alabama. But the question is, how do you get some of those crossover votes? Of people who are just not comfortable. I mean, I looked today, I saw Jeff Flake. I don't know if you saw this, but Jeff Flake actually wrote a 100, Senator Flake from Arizona, wrote a $100 check and sent it to Doug Jones today.
Because I did see that.
With the country over party in the what it's for line. Because, you know, there got to be Republicans who go, look, you know, we'll take the Democrat. At least he's not a pedophile. I mean, really, I'm a little older than you are. I never thought in politics you would ever find a candidate viable who, one, sided with the Russians, or two, was a pedophile. I mean, I'm just mind blown.
I got to be honest. I mean, you may be older than me, but I'm old enough to have long thought that that was impossible, too.
And yet, here we are.
Yep. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, it is a tricky proposition because, you know, unlike in, say, Virginia, where all kinds of outside support came in on both sides to mobilize their voters as best they could, you know, as I say, in Alabama, there's just this hardcore culture of the state deciding for itself, of not accepting outsiders. So it's all, so, you know, eternal question of how do you help Jones without appearing to help him.
Yeah, no, and look, I saw his ad that they tried to put out to reach some of the moderate Republicans talking nicely about a Confederate general, which really just sent the African American community into a fit, because you know you're trying to reach out with one hand while somebody else is smacking you. I thought the ad was, I saw it, and I'm going, really bad idea, and quickly they got rid of that, but you know. How do you reach those middle Alabama voters who and pull them to your side? I mean, it's one of those.
I mean, it is a fundamental question. But you know, I'm inclined to think that most voters who were disgusted enough with Moore to be swayed have been swayed.
Yeah,
that is what it is, and I think that from here on, it's got to be about them.
That's got to be a get out of the vote. So give me a prediction. You think I've seen numerous polls, 50-47 Jones, 50-47 Moore. I've seen polls right in that neck and neck race. And of course, as you've said, it's going to come out to turnout. How do you see things going there?
I honestly think it could be anyone's game here. To go back to Virginia again, those polls are all over the map, too. And you know, to some degree, that's a good sign. It means that the pollsters are using a bunch of different independent models to track the race, and they aren't, like, herding together, which can be which can tend to produce a greater error in the long run. I would say that I would argue that at the moment, after, you know, the past couple of weeks, with the trends that I mentioned before, I still put Jones as an underdog, but I think that he absolutely could still pull it off.
Yeah, got a shot. So let me ask you the last line of questioning on this then, because the other side of this is now that Trump has fully, with a full throat endorsement, go get him, Roy, and the RNC is back funding and back, I guess, back involved in this. What do the Republicans do in the Senate if he is elected? Do they pursue an ethics investigation? Is there a way to pursue not seating him? Do you see anything playing out there?
Well, I mean, the Supreme Court has pretty clearly ruled in the 60s that he has to at least be seated. But they also said that expulsion by a two-thirds vote is perfectly fine. I don't know at this point, given everything that McConnell has said, given everything that other senior Republicans have said, that they would actually try to do that. The very, very least that they could do for the sake of their decency is to not give him committee assignments. Like, he really wants to end up on the Judiciary Committee, which, you know, for obvious reasons, he was thrown off the state Supreme Court twice, is a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. And look, I think personally, if he wins, they're gonna do some kind of a dog and pony show. Maybe he gets to wear his little cowboy costume. Maybe he doesn't. They'll tap him
around with that tiny pistol.
They'll tap him on the wrist, tell him to sit down and be quiet in the corner for a little bit, and in, you know, 6 months he'll be allowed to be as crazy and as radical and as ridiculous as he's going to be, and moving us one step closer to the theocracy that people like him and Pence and others want to take this country.
Absolutely, and it's important to note that even before all of this, all of the allegations of child molestation came up, we're going to be the most extreme radical Senate candidate in basically generations.
Yeah.
He is pretty much alone. He would be pretty much alone, even among the current far-right crop of senators, in believing that the Bible literally trumps man's law.
Oh no, I fully see him saying, "Let's get rid of that there Constitution thing. Put this book there." He's that scary. I mean,
he effectively does do that.
I know.
He claims to support the Constitution, but does it by basically interpreting every single thing in it to mean the opposite of what it means.
Yeah, I mean, Pence scares me. This guy scares me more. Matthew, I appreciate the time and your thoughts. Thanks so much. Look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. You have a great night.
Good time. I appreciate your thoughts. I'd love to hear what you think. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.